from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. Hope you're doing well here. It is July 19th, 2018. Patrick Timpone. OneRadioNetwork.com. We're broadcasting live here weekday mornings, 9 to 11-ish, sometimes more-ish than 11-ish, on OneRadioNetwork.com. All of our podcasts are available to the world for free. Do you say for free or free? Just free, no cost. We have over 2,500 of them. We're in our 10th year for this particular show. And we do mostly health and wealth and well-being, but we veer off course, at a whole bunch of spiritual fun stuff, why we're here, who we are, what's it all about. Alfie on Friday, open phones, and also, of course, healing health things as well. And then every Wednesday, Andrew Goss in the real world of money, and that's our kind of thing. My email address is patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com, patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Also telephone that nobody uses anymore is 888-663-6386, 888-663-6386. Next hour, Dr. Rulin Xu, Chinese PhD, quantum physicist, and we're going to be talking about this product that she produced, Pearlseum, and some things for beauty. And where do you hear? Well, just stick around. Because real pearl is pretty amazing for your face and your teeth, toothies. And boy, you want to get the pearlies? Man, I tell you what, this is great stuff. So I'm going to dig in with her and see if we can understand why this works. First up this morning is a gentleman who visits from time to time. And boy, we're really should all be grateful that the National Health Federation is out there and trying to help protect folks from eating a bunch of stuff and having a bunch of things go on at Codex, that Scott Tipps, who's the National Health Freedom Federation, I'm sorry, National Health Federation president, and also the general counsel, which means he's an attorney type. And he had some success of recent in Chicago with Merck trying to get some things through that we're going to talk about. And then also pick apart this whole process of who Codex is and what's been going on in this field for a long time. So we're going to have a good conversation, I am sure, with Mr. Scott Tipps on OneRadioNetwork.com. Scott, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Patrick. Good morning to you, too.
Yeah. When was the Codex Chicago meeting? Was this just recently?
Well, there were two meetings, actually. There was the one in Chicago, and there was the one in Rome. So the one in Chicago was in April, sort of third week of April, I think, and as I recall. And then the one in Rome was just the first week of this month of July, 2018. So these were both connected, because what happened at the Codex committee meeting in Chicago then played out again at the Rome meeting, because the Rome meeting is the annual meeting of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which is, just think of it as the head body, the head of the body organization of Codex Alimentarius. And then there are various committees that are hosted by various governments, and these committees do the grunt work, much of the grunt work, and then they report periodically to the head body, that is the commission, in Rome or in Geneva. It alternates. Next year it'll be meeting in Geneva. This year it was in Rome. And they are establishing food standards and guidelines that affect 99% of the world's population. They sort of operate sort of under the table in a way. I mean, they aren't underhanded in that respect, but they just aren't that visible to most people. So a lot of people are just not aware that they are an important body that's establishing standards and guidelines that control what you eat and what you drink.
And also, most supplementations are under Codex as well, supplements?
That's correct. Wow. You're absolutely right. And that's what first drew us, the National Health Federation, into Codex almost 20 years ago, actually 21 years ago, into Codex. And we sent a reporter to kind of report on what Codex was doing because it was dealing with and trying to shut down vitamin mineral supplements, and we didn't like that. And then it sort of morphed into NHF, that is me, in this case, attending on behalf of NHF and Health Freedom Advocates, attending as part of the U.S. delegation. And then when I got kicked off, unceremoniously booted off that delegation, then I got Codex accredited status for the National Health Federation as an INGO, you know, an international non-governmental organization. And we've been, that was 16 years ago, actually almost, yeah, 16 years ago. And we've been going and making a nuisance of ourselves at Codex meetings ever since, you know, sort of battling with Monsanto and Merck and all of those orc-like minions. And, you know, the first 9 years, Patrick, I don't mind telling you, were tough because we were laughed at, ridiculed, sidelined, ignored, you know, all of the above. But somewhere around the 9th or 10th year, we started having victories almost every year. Huh. And then we weren't so much laughed at. We were really feared. You know, Codex chairman would refuse to call on us because they knew we had just lambasted the heck out of them or whatever was going on. And we would speak out very forcefully. And we still have that as sort of our signature trademark characteristic there at the Codex meetings. And this last meeting in Rome and the one in Chicago were no exception. And I don't mind telling you that when they were trying to pass or approve Zilpaterol, which is a very toxic vet drug that they give to cattle especially, and then you and I and others who eat beef would, not saying that you do, but those who do, mm-hmm. would then, you know, get dosed with the toxic residues from that, let alone the harm done to the animals who have, a large number of them have hooves fall off, they have downer pigs and the like. You know, Zilpaterol is 125 times more potent than ractopamine, which was already banned in the European Union, banned in China, banned in Russia, banned in Norway, Switzerland, numerous countries for its ill effects. Then you have Zilpaterol, which is even worse, and it's coming up for approval. And our forceful speaking out at the Chicago meeting shut it down. You know, the EU spoke out against it, bless their hearts, as did mm-hmm. Norway, Switzerland, and Russia. Mm. But they were all kind of meek and mild about it. They even conceded the science on it, that there was no harm from it, which is ridiculous. There's most definitely harm from Zilpaterol ingestion. You know, they put it in the animal food, and then what happens is the animals eat it. There's a residue in their bloodstream and their tissue. And with most drugs, vet drugs, they give a 2-week washout period before slaughter. But with this, you can't do that. You know, Zilpaterol is supposed to, it's what I call the Arnold Schwarzenegger drug, it and ractopamine. It bulks the animals up so they have leaner meat, less fat, and hence ranchers, farmers, they make more money off of it. The corporate entities make more money off of those kind of animals, you know, a few dollars per animal. But the sad part is that they can't stop them from taking it 2 weeks ahead of time or they lose all the good effects of it, the good in quote marks, by the way. So they have to give it to them up to almost the time of slaughter, in which case there are definitely residues left in the meat that you will eat in the United States and Canada. Pretty much the whole Western Hemisphere is hooked on this drug and the doped up meat. And so that's what we stopped. We were, through our arguments and those of the EU, we were able to stop it so it wasn't approved for worldwide sales at the Codex meeting.
Oh, that's there. Great. So is so Patterol was the one that we really had the victory through.
Yeah.
And is it fair to say we're not just piling on, that Merck is the real force in this, subsidizing other organizations like yours to promote these drugs for animals? Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's okay. Correct. Right. They've created a phony front group called, well, their name for it is Health for Animals, but in the interest of full and fair disclosure and transparency, its real name is Drugs for Animals, because they haven't met a drug for an animal yet that they didn't like. And that's their definition of health for animals. It give them, pump them full of drugs.
Oh, and this is a whole Merck thing. Let's go back a little bit. I'd like to, on this Codex, was this agreed to 20 years ago by world governments? Was it the USDA or the FDA on the United States side and the counterparts in different countries that agreed to allow this organization to form and to take control of the standards for food and supplements?
Yeah, what happened? It really happened in two parts, Patrick. You know, back in 1961 through 1963, there were a round of resolutions by the WHO, you know, the World Health Organization, and the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, that in 1963 resulted in the formation of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. So what is it, about 55 years old this year, little younger than the National Health Federation. We're 63 years old this year and counting. And we've been going to the meetings for about 20 years now. But with Codex, the reason I said it really occurred in two parts is that it didn't have much power before 1994/1995, because there was no real enforcement mechanism for its standards. But now, with the creation of the World Trade Organization after the Uruguay round of GATT treaty negotiations, in 94, then you had some power, enforcement power and clout behind it. That's why everyone started piling on to Codex after that, Merck, Monsanto, even us, because we realized how much more important it was. That's why in 1997 we started sending a reporter, because what happens is once you get a Codex standard in place, then if a signatory, or let me say a member state, refuses to accept your Codex compliant goods into their country, then the exporting country, the exporting member state, gets to go to WTO, to the arbitration panel there, the trade dispute panel, and say, look, and point the finger at the blocking party and say, look, they are creating an unfair trade burden, and this has to stop. And what the WTO does in the case of food, not in the case of, say, automobiles or farm equipment, but in the case of food, one of the first things they will do is they will look and see, is there a Codex standard that governs this? And if there is, then they will slap the wrist very hard with of the offending party, that is the blocking party, and say, you are creating an unfair trade burden and barrier, and we are fining you. And they levy equivalent trade sanctions against the regional bloc, such as the EU, and they have to pay them so long as they're a member of the WTO and a member of Codex. So this is how it works now, and that's why it's so important as to whether or not a Codex standard is created for something. So putting it in practical terms,
yes.
go going back to Chicago, there's an eight-step process for approving any standard. And when NHF and the EU and Norway and Switzerland blocked this standard from being approved, and it's not final, by the way, I have to say, you know, it's like Winston Churchill said once, you know, victory is never final. I mean, we won on ractopamine for year after year after year for years. And then finally, they were able to get it passed by one vote at the commission meeting back several years ago. And that was a huge crushing defeat for us and actually had a lot of political fallout for the U.S., which had pushed for this so very hard to get the ractopamine standard. So, but on the other hand, this committee won't meet again for 2 years. So we blocked Merck and have delayed them for at least 2 years. And I'll tell you something, when the next meeting comes up 2 years from now, the committee meeting, and we don't know where it'll be. The host government is the U.S. government. They run meetings very well. The chairman, I have to give credit where credit is due. Unlike many other committees, this chairman, Kevin Greenless, was very fair, and he didn't treat one side or the other in an unfair or biased way. So, you know, we've got to give kudos to them. And the U.S. Codex Office, when they run Codex meetings on the committees they control, they run them very, very well. So you would think it might not be that way, given the U.S.'s position. But when it comes to the committee meetings, you have some really fair dealings that happen. So I'm hoping that'll happen again in 2 years' time. But be that as it may, we plan to have our forces arrayed and our arguments lined up so we can defeat this yet again.
Okay. So the Paterol is the one that that we've won on for at least for the next 2 years. So that doesn't necessarily mean that beef producers cannot use it in their cows if they're just going to sell it in the United States, but they probably wouldn't use it because then they couldn't get away with it to sell it to other places in the world because it doesn't have the codex approval, and that's all tied in with the trade, the WTO, and all that stuff. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Even for us, what sure. happened is several years ago, Merck, very responsibly, and they deserve credit for that, withdrew Zilpaterol from the United States market, withdrew its use because of this problem with cattle losing their hooves and having other health issues. And Merck voluntarily withdrew the product from the market. But that's not to say it's not being used elsewhere throughout the Western Hemisphere. But yes, you summarized it very well.
So if you're getting just a regular meat today that's not certified organic, it could have this stuff in there and you would never know it, even if it says natural?
Correct. Okay. There's no disclosure on the label. And it's very likely you're at least getting ractopamine. They'll either use ractopamine or Zilpaterol. They prefer Zilpaterol because it's 125 times more potent.
And how many of these other things are in there on so-called natural meats that they can use that term that aren't organic or, well, we'll talk about grass-fed, but is there a lot of other things in this, the regular old meat you get at the supermarket if you buy that?
Yeah, there are antibiotics. And actually, I have to say, also, was it in Chicago? We had a victory at the, or Minneapolis, actually. We had a victory at the committee meeting there. It's called the Codex Committee on Residues of Vet Drugs in Food. Kind of a tongue-twisting name and acronym, CCRVDF. And that's the committee that's hosted by the U.S. government. Usually meets in the U.S., not always. Sometimes it meets in other countries. But that's the one where we got 9 out of 10 antibiotics out of the food supply that were being used on cattle. But yeah, I mean, to cut back to the chase,
sure.
There are antibiotics, there are all sorts of other things. And don't forget, then the cattle are eating quite often, if they aren't grass-fed, they are eating GMO or pesticide sprayed foods that then, you know, the residue ends up in them and then it ends up in the milk or in the meat, right. And yeah. We get it that way. So there's a whole cocktail of these toxins.
And most of the alfalfa, not all, but most of it, I understand, Scott Tips, is GMO, and also, so then the glyphosates are there, but real aware farmers, you can find them at the farmer's market, are actually getting organic alfalfa now, which without the glyphosates. Boy, it's a brave new world out there. Okay, stay right there, sir. Yeah. We'll pick it up here. Scott Tips, National Health Federation president, and boy, you better be glad that these folks are out there, as you can well tell. It gets a little strange what's going on, and isn't it curious how they tied in Codex with all these trade organization things. So, you know, perhaps our new president, President Trump, is correct where he says there's a lot of these fine print in these trade deals that are not good for us. And I don't know, maybe he's on to some of this stuff, Paris Treaty and all this stuff. Well, we'll see. We don't know. But it's certainly that the globalists, the boys, as we call them, they're out there, and they're wanting to sell their stuff. And National Health Federation, Scott Tips, you can go to their website and check them out, and I'm going to give you their correct URL website during the show here when I pull it up. Okay, if you would like to try some of the fresh frozen aloe from Stockton Aloe 1, I just ordered 4 more. Ordered it yesterday, and then I got an email yesterday saying, well, we're going to ship it on Monday. And the reason they do that, they wouldn't ship it on Wednesday or Thursday because then it could sit somewhere over the weekend. So they've been doing this a long time. So they're very aware of the shipping thing. It comes in all styrofoamed up and pretty much still partially frozen. Of course, this time of the year, it's going to be mostly melted, you know, doing 2 or 3 day FedEx. But it doesn't matter. It's still cold. I've had it where it's still really cold and just a little bit of ice. And you just put them right back in the freezer and then pull them out as you need them. And that's how you get fresh frozen aloe, if I can say that. Just the pulp, nothing else in there. Totally organic, of course. And boy, just Google benefits of aloe. And after you read that for about 2 days, you know, all the benefits, then you'll probably want to get some. It's Stockton Aloe 1. You look on the front page of One Radio Network, and you'll find it. Stockton Aloe 1, and the minimum is 2 half-gallons. And I would start with that, of course. And then, get like me, then you just get hooked on it. And even without any kind of, I don't have any really things I'm working on with it, except it's just an amazing food, and eat it the rest of your life, and you're going to be happier for it. The summer sale is going on with Rebounder, and you can get the Ultimate Rebounder. That's what we're recommending, the Ultimate Rebounder. You can look on reboundair.com and look at the picture of it. You'll see what it looks like. It's a little step up, a BMW over the half-fold, which is a beautiful machine that we normally sell, $339. Get the Ultimate for $339, or if you want to get the half-fold, we have it at $299. If you want to get the Ultimate, after you look at it on Rebound Air, just come back to Run Radio Network. You'll see that they sell it for $429. We can't put this in print. It's just an oral thing because they don't want, you know, once it gets on Google, then everybody wants to do it. And they'll mess up their suggested retail price. But we got a special deal with them for a few weeks here. And I would just order the Rebounder as normal. Just click on our website, pay the $339, and we'll ship you the Ultimate. And it's a really beautiful little guy. Lifetime warranty, the Ultimate Rebounder, on sale for $339. Just order away right on the website. Or if you wanted to get the half-fold for $299, email me, and I'll work it out. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's Master Herbalist Stephen Buhner giving some insights, guys, on why this pine pollen could boost your testosterone levels.
The pollen itself is extremely high in a number of male estrogens, the most potent of which is testosterone, and it's got a fairly high level of it. I mean, it's still in the micrograms, but that's really all the difference between us and women, is that we have this microgram more than they do, and then in the womb, that shifts us into the male developmental pattern. So when we start adding that stuff back in to our bloodstream, which you do if you take that sort of tincture and you hold it in your mouth for a while and then you swallow it without putting it in any water or anything, it goes right through the mucous membranes into the bloodstream, and so you start to get an increase in the body of actual testosterone, which then circulates to pretty much every cell in the body, and that then begins to increase vitality and muscle strength and everything else.
This is a great product. I've taken it for years. You can click an order, and use your Thrival link, different variations in the pine pollen, potency and price. Take your pick right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Just thinking here, maybe they could give the cows pine pollen and get them some muscles, and they wouldn't give them these things. Daniel Vitalis's Thrival links are on our website, One Radio Network, and the pine pollen, same place you get the elk velvet, the amazing collagen, Shaga Rishi, and also the new product, which is a vitamin D K2. It's called Daylight K2. Very, very nice product, and I think something everyone should take, a little bit of vitamin D and the K2 thing. We know how that works with putting the calcium in the right spot. And then the newest one, too, is also Taboo, if you're going to go out and make some more babies and stuff like that, or, you know, or just practice. And any Thrival link, OneRadioNetwork.com, with Scott Tips and the executive director of the Codex Alimentarius, kind of watchdogs, and National Health Federation president, and he's also general counsel. And it's good to have you here again, Scott. Well, I don't want to get too political here, but so is it possible that even things like the Paris Treaty and some of these other treaties, that they have these tag-along kind of adhesion contracts? You know.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair assessment. And if you look at these various tie-in agreements, like the sanitary and phytosanitary agreements, the SPS agreements, they specifically mention Codex. Uh-huh. Codex is specifically mentioned in CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. It's specifically mentioned in the Technical Barriers to Trade Agreement. There's a whole handful, really a whole array of various trade agreements and executive agreements and handshake agreements between governments that either mention Codex directly or will invariably trigger Codex application.
All right, so if somebody would refuse this or that, if Russia would refuse some kind of a drug that farmers have, they could then go back and say, well, you're part of this treaty, and Codex said this drug is okay, so you got to take it.
Well, that kind of thing. Only to the extent that the drug appears in a food. Remember, Codex Alimentarius is Latin for food code, so it doesn't deal with drugs directly.
It deals with drugs indirectly
to the extent they're introduced into our food and our water supply.
Yeah, yeah. So in general, the United States, Canada, Mexico, we seem to be the lowest on the intellectual awareness totem pole with this thing. I mean, what's up with that?
You know, you would think that if
we should be ahead of the game here.
You would think that we would be up there in the smarts as well as all the other Anglo-Saxon countries and many of the others. But the reality is that we are the ones who are most controlled by the pharmaceutical industry and by the big agriculture companies. You know, Monsanto, Bayer, Merck, Dow, those sort of companies, if you look at the Codex meetings, Patrick, you'll see that besides the government FDA and U.S. Department of Agriculture types, not only the U.S., but in other countries who inhabit and frequent these meetings, you have the INGOs who are there. Now, NHF is one of those INGOs, granted, but really there's barely a handful of consumer groups that go to these meetings. I would say 95%, 99% of the INGOs are front groups for various trade industry interests. And so you have, for example, you have the Calorie Control Council, which their idea is, you know, nice little name, but their idea is that you need to be taking aspartame instead of sugar. You have, wow. You know, Crop Life. Boy, that sounds like a really nice group, doesn't it? Well, that's Monsanto's front group.
I see.
And then you have Drugs for Animals, and that's Merck's and others' front groups. And they just pile in and load these meetings with these people. You know, at the Codex Committee on Pesticide Residue meeting that NHF last attended, which was in 2017, there were, in China, there were something like 41 Monsanto reps and Dow Chemical reps and other such industry reps there at the meeting. And those were just the ones that we could count, because sprinkled in on the various country delegation are these other hidden representatives for the industry. And so we were the only consumer group there.
And we of all the people in the world, that NHF was the only group there where they were looking out for Patrick,
yep,
and my dog and our listeners.
Yep. And that's us. And at the
man,
Chicago,
that's amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah, at the Chicago meeting, we were the only. That's not to say there aren't other consumer,
sure,
groups that are credited by Codex, but they don't go to all these meetings. Consumers International, for example, didn't show up in Rome. It was only IBFAN, the International Baby Formula Action Network, and the National Health Federation, which, by the way, if you want to read more about this, go to our website, if I may give this
address. Yeah, go ahead and give that. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I had the right one.
You know, get your pens handy. But anyway, www.the, and then our initials, nhf.com, thenhf.com. And you can read there on the homepage is a report about these meetings, quite lengthy report, but it's, I think you'll find it interesting.
Boy, it is, too. What you sent me was like, whoa, really fascinating, that long, detailed thing. Also, we found, it was amazing that what went on at these meetings and how you had to really hang in there, and there wasn't a consensus, and then you fought and you said, well, here's a definition of a consensus. It was pretty wild, boy. I tell you, wild and woolly. Good thing that you were trained as an attorney, so you're probably better at arguing as a lot of these people that get all emotional about it.
Yeah. And so in any event, just to be clear, I I'm the president of the organization, but our executive director is Catherine Carroll.
President. So talk a little bit about, I was reading this long report this morning that my associate Sharon sent me, and it was just about 10 pages about your draft of really what on, and the whole thing about studies, just fascinating of what passes for science.
Yeah, it's it's really, it's, you know, in the stock market, the bond market, actually, when you have these bonds that really are of low value, and highly speculative and, you know, high risk and the like, what do we call those?
Junk bonds.
We call them junk bonds. So what should you call science that falls in the same category? You should call it junk science. Well, that's what we call the science that often comes out of these Codex meetings, and certainly the science that is offered by a lot of these front groups like Drugs for Animals and others, who really don't have ethical science. Maybe we should start calling them unethical science as well. But they fudge the study results. They will cut the study term in half just to have positive results. They do all sorts. There are all sorts of ways they can fudge the results on these things, and then they slough them off on Codex, who will not cast a critical eye at this. And then when they don't get their way, when industry doesn't get its way, then they will threaten to no longer produce drugs for the consumer market. Well, you know, please make my day, you know, stop producing these kind of toxic drugs for the consumer market. But they actually did that at the Chicago meeting. The Drugs for Animals executive director, he, you know, threatened, or one of the other representatives maybe who was there said, well, maybe we just, if we don't get our way on this, we will be sponsoring drugs in the future for everyone. And so, of course, a lot of the Codex people who genuflect at the altar of Codex science, it's really like a religion for them. They wanted to back off and not be so so critical of the science that's coming out from the industry groups and from JEGFA. It's called JEGFA, the Joint FAO/WHO Expert Consultation on Food Additives, or JECFA. And so the JEGFA people who are used to coming down from Mount Sinai with the tablets of stone that pronounce the, you know, the biblical injunction of science, and everyone's supposed to accept it as if it's the word of God, and they're just shocked. I mean, literally, not figuratively, but literally shocked that NHF does not accept it as the word of God, and that we dare to blaspheme, Codex by challenging it. And we literally say this. I mean, we say, look, you know, JEGFA puts on their pants one leg at a time, just like everyone else. And it's our goal and our job and our duty at these Codex meetings to not rubber stamp the science that they hand down. And if we do, we are shirking our responsibility. Otherwise, why are we even to be here? We should just hire a clerk, minimum wage, give him or her a rubber stamp and it says approved, and they can just rubber stamp whatever JEGFA says. And then we can all go home, be with our families, do whatever else we want to do, take vacations, and we don't have to spend a lot of money and a lot of our time coming to these, you know, otherwise silly meetings to just rubber stamp whatever JEGFA says. So that's what we say at these meetings time after time. We've said it for 10 years plus at these meetings. But for some reason at this meeting, Drugs for Animals got the ear of the JEGFA scientists and said, look, look, showing them their smartphone, look, NHF called your science junk science. Look, aren't they evil people for doing this? So when we came back from the lunch break, fresh from our victory over Zilpaterol, then there's like a big round of applause for the JEGFA scientists who's saying NHF is a bad, bad person. They're a group of persons for saying that our science is junk science. Our science is real science. And everyone, you know, including the EU and others, are applauding them because, of course, that's the word of God. And you don't, you know, be a heretic and attack the word of God. But these are the same people. And get this, at the Rome meeting, Patrick, when India, bless their hearts, they do a lot of good things at these meetings, the Indians do. Hmm. When India brought up its request for new work on EDCs and endocrine disruptive chemicals, you know, the USA, Canada, Nigeria, Australia, of course, Australia is always, always against any good health at a Codex meeting. In fact, you can set your compass by it. If you see in Australia speaking up in favor of something, you know, absolutely know with 100% certainty to oppose it, as Australia is 100% owned by the pharmaceutical and big agricultural industries. Wow. They're just a regional branch office for those guys. So is New Zealand. And really, frankly, so is the USA.
So is New Zealand. They put themselves off as this pristine place, you know, and all. But no, they're in the same category as Australia and just backwards.
Yeah. Well, it's a big disconnect. I mean, you have a big disconnect between the New Zealand people who are relatively health-oriented and interested in that, and their government, and the Australian government, and the Australian people. And they just don't do what the Australian people want them to do. They don't do what the New Zealand people want them to do. It's a total disconnect between that. In fact, I wrote an article about 5 years ago called The Great Australian Health Mystery. You can probably Google it and find it. And it's directed to the Australian people. And it said, look, here's all the things that Australia has pushed. They pushed or opposed. They opposed GMO food labeling. They pushed for a reduction in potency of vitamins and minerals. They pushed for ractopamine in food. They pushed for recombinant bovine growth hormone to be in foods. They pushed for aluminum in foods and opposed us trying to take aluminum out of the foods. They pushed for antibiotics in foods. They pushed for melamine. The melamine exemption to be in infant baby formula, where the industry could pack as much melamine that would migrate from the packaging into infant formula as they wanted. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You could be a complete blithering idiot, and you go into a Codex meeting, first time ever, and all you have to do is listen for what the Australian delegate says, and then whatever he or she is spouting, just take the 180-degree opposite position, and you'd be right. And you'd be promoting health throughout the world. That's all it takes. It's a real easy cheat sheet for Codex. So these people are really bad people. I mean, they can personally, as individuals, they can be very nice, but they're either deluded themselves. I rode up in an elevator in Chicago with the New Zealand delegate, very articulate guy, very charming guy. But he had the audacity to say that, you know, I speak for the consumer as much as you guys do, referring to the NHF. And I could barely contain myself when he said that, but he believed it, or at least he's convinced himself that he believes it. But that's what you get at these Codex meetings. So anyway, we're the ones there, and we don't, you know, have big government taxpayer money supporting us. We don't have big, you know, $40 billion company like Merck supporting us, or a $15 billion company like Monsanto supporting us. We don't even have a $1 billion company supporting us. We have a lot of individuals like you and me giving their last little Social Security check money to us. And I'm not kidding. We have, you know, shaking out envelopes. They have $3 $1 bills that come from little old ladies on Social Security who, bless their hearts, have given their last bit of their check for that month to us. And that's how we get to these meetings. But we can't afford to go to every meeting. That's why it is really critical that your listeners, if they do anything, is to please go to our website, thenhf.com, and thenhf.com. And donate, even if it's $10.
Yeah, donate something. Just go, you know, get your foot in the water there, because you hear the work that's going on, and when you have governments with treaties and Codex and the UN involved, and you know, it's tricky business. That someday you may go to this store and say, oh, you know that vitamin C, you can only get 100 milligrams. They've decided that 1,000 milligrams is too much or something. You know, it's a very, very challenging.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this is going on and on and on. So we have another meeting or two this year, and then we have a whole slew of Codex meetings to go to next year. We were the only ones opposing glyphosate at the Pesticide Residue Committee for Codex. And, you know, all of this affects 99%, probably really all, because of the way in which these talks circulate throughout the entire environment. So even though it's just, it's 99% of the world's population that's represented at Codex, the people who are really affected, the mothers, the fathers, the children, and the like, they need a voice there, and that's us. We're the voice. We've been, you know, I hate to bang our own drum, but really almost no one else is, but we have been having a lot of good results at these meetings. You know, like I said, for 9 years we went without much in the way of a victory, and it would have been easy to not have persevered, to have given in to the naysayers who said, hey, Scott, you're wasting your time, all of that. But it's a funny thing. Starting the 9th to 10th year, we started having victories almost every single year. Doesn't mean we don't have our share of defeats as well, but we've really had an impact at Codex. And
Scott Tipps, who are some of the most aware countries of, you know, that would be like what we call, without taking sides, whatever, the most aware health conscious countries?
Well, you'll probably laugh, but Iran is one of them.
I'll be darned. That's amazing. Oh, and they're on the evildoers list, too. God, well, okay.
Yeah. Well, they have some really good delegates there. You know, it depends on the committee meeting and the commission meeting as to whom they send.
Sure.
You tend to have different people at the different committee meetings and commission meetings. And after this is my 19th year of attending Codex meetings, and so I've seen a lot of people come and go, and most of these people there are new people. They haven't been going as long as I have, but generally the Iranian delegates are quite good. The European Union delegates, when it comes to toxins, are quite good, but the newer delegates tend to be a little more willing to roll over than the older delegates that they used to have. They had some really tough ones a few years ago, not that long ago, who would dig their heels in and fight to limit on rectopamine and the like. And so I kind of miss that now. Malaysia, the Russian delegate is actually pretty good. The Indian delegate's pretty good. The Iraqi delegate really helped save us about 9 years ago when we fought against the nutrient reference values, you know, basically the RDIs for vitamins and minerals. And Iraq and India both came in with a timely intervention supporting us by name, National Health Federation by name, and saving the day. So there, it really depends on the issues, but generally Malaysia, India, sometimes the Philippines, sometimes Indonesia. No country in the Western Hemisphere, except for when we were fighting melamine, and that was one huge victory exemption. Yeah, and we talked about that on one of your programs. Yeah. The Costa Rican delegate, the Hispanic sort of Central American, South American sort of coffee clutch group of Hispanic women were fabulous. And they all piled on to support our opposition to, you know, to the melamine exemption and infant formula that would have allowed the sky's the limit loophole.
How about Russia, China, Scott Tipps? What are they using?
Well, I did mention Russia, and Russia's been quite good. In fact, I went up to the Russian delegate after the rectopamine vote. I said, you may laugh at this, but you represent the interests of the American consumer more than the U.S. delegate does. And he laughed and shook his head, but he agreed. I mean, he actually did. China is sometimes good, sometimes not. They went to the dark side on the glyphosate issue, GMO issue. However, on ractopamine and zilpaterol, they've been really quite good. Interesting side note, by the way, at the Chicago meeting on zilpaterol, the vet residue committee meeting, there were no Chinese delegates there, Patrick. So really amazing. Why is that? You would think that on the zilpaterol issue, they would have been there. Well, they applied for their visas, but the U.S. government, for unexplained reasons, turned them down. So the Chinese scientists could not be at the Chicago meeting last April to oppose zilpaterol at that meeting. So funny thing how that works.
Yeah, I was talking to a cattle farmer, grass-fed guy at the farmer's market, talking about these kinds of things, and he was telling me that there are some chemicals or drugs that they can use because they're not supposed to stay in very long, even if it's labeled organic beef or chicken. Is that true?
Right.
Do you know?
Well, yeah, there are certain things that can be used up to a certain percent, and it's still considered USDA organic. Hmm. There are some private organic, and I apologize, I don't remember their names. If I did, I would definitely mention them, but there are some private organic certifying outfits that will have stricter standards, but the USDA organic and even the Codex organic, which is a definition we've been working on at the Codex Committee for Food Labeling hosted by the Canadian government, it allows certain non-organic items to be introduced in the food supply that then results in the organic food.
So is there any, we have a listener here, Joyce wants to know, if I see a product that's labeled grass-fed, grass-finished, can I be assured that it doesn't have all this yuck stuff you guys are talking about?
Well, it's more likely to be better, and certainly the omega 3 and 6 ratio will be better from grass-fed than from grain-fed. But unless it also says organic, I wouldn't count on it. It should say grass-fed and organic and or biodynamic, and then you can be a bit more assured of that. But at least headed in the right direction if it's grass-fed. It's less likely to have a whole bunch of other chemicals in it, but it's not assured of that. A good question.
So folks are going to drink pasteurized milk from the hippie food store. They would probably try to find some organic grass-fed. I think there's some out there.
Yeah, there is.
Or cheese, I mean, even cheese too, right? Even cheese too.
Yeah, cheese as well. Well, you want to make sure with any dairy products you don't have the RBST or RBGH, the recombinant growth bovine hormone, in there, which is which was approved in the U.S. for use, is used there. So unless it says RBGH-free, you're going to get dosed with that. Canada stopped it. Our good friend Robert Cohen in New Jersey was one of the key people responsible. He's an NHF member. He was one of the key people responsible for getting it stopped in Canada. But unfortunately, it's still approved in for use in dairy in the U.S. But yeah, you have to be careful. You know, the problem is anything that's dairy, you know, this is high fat. And what does fat do? Fat stores toxins in your body. This is one reason they advise chemotherapy patients, to not lose weight rapidly if they ever go on a diet or whatever, if they want to lose weight, because they've stored the chemotherapeutic agents, the toxins, in their fat cells. And if you dump those into your system, they're very toxic, of course. If you dump them in your system through rapid weight loss, you could kill yourself, certainly harm yourself. It's same thing, same principle applies to meat and dairies and eggs, the like. If you eat those, you really want to eat organic, because what has the animal done? What is the chicken done? What is the cow done? They've stored a lot of toxins that they've consumed there at the nearly the top of the food chain in their fat cells. And there's high fat coming out of there, and you don't want to be the one consuming those. So that is definitely a we should be searching for biodynamic or organic, you know, foods of those type, dairy products, those type.
Before we go, give us an update on this thing called glyphosates, and we hear that they're spraying a lot of glyphosates on various crops. Got tips prior to harvesting to just to dry it out, even if they're non-GMO. Is that true?
Right. Yeah, absolutely true. And it's an increasing practice amongst farmers, certainly the corporate farmers. And it's absolutely sickening, Patrick, because there's no need to spray it. It just makes it easier to harvest the crops if they've all shriveled up and they're on the ground. Then they just scoop them up instead of having to whack them down and do all of that. But what's happening is they're dosing all of us who could eat those foods with glyphosate. It is very tough to find any American, even those who are just eating strictly organic, without a certain level of glyphosate in your system. And glyphosate is very toxic, and especially when applied in the stew of Roundup with these other so-called inactive ingredients, it's even more toxic than just glyphosate alone. That's the sad thing. It's not ameliorated, it's enhanced in its toxic properties. So we are all getting dosed. You know, they did a study California red wines, and they found, or wines in general, and they found that all of them had high levels of glyphosate. Even the organic ones had glyphosate there, much lower levels, but still detectable levels of glyphosate.
In, so in we the need red to wines. Avoid these. Wow, wow. So do we know, this may be off, you know, above your pay grade, but are the glyphosates, are they also in the fat or other places in the body? Do we know where they get stored?
They get stored in fat cells, but they can also circulate in the bloodstream. Yeah, yeah. They'll do blood tests for it and the like. But, yeah, it's ubiquitous, and it's hard to avoid them now. I mean, one reason, I used to love Mexican food, but I don't eat those tortilla chips anymore because, unless they're organic, because I know for sure that I will be getting dosed with glyphosate. And this destroys the gut bacteria that manufactures a lot of your vitamins and other nutrients in your system, and has a direct, through the vagus nerve, a direct impact on your mood and your thinking ability in your brain. So this is really nasty, nasty stuff, and yet they're spraying it all over the place. And this is what we in National Health Federation are fighting at Codex. And it's a lonely fight at Codex, but we do educate people, and we hope to make a difference on this very issue.
So this glyphosate freight train, do you see any, what's your long-term prediction for it?
It'll end up on the junk heap of history, of course. But
how long,
in the
right?
meantime, in the meantime, how many bodies, millions of bodies will litter the path? I mean, this is something that is destroying fertility. This is something that has, affected, in many people's opinion, the autism rate amongst children. This is something that hurts all of our health. I mean, this is one of the prime issues of health today, is the presence of glyphosate in Roundup and its ubiquitous use throughout the world. And it's just a tragedy. But someday, through our education efforts and the like, it will be banned completely. And that is my prediction for the future, but we just want to minimize the harm that's done in the meantime.
Hmm. Is it even possible, are people doing really good objective science to prove what you've just said in the work of, I know Stephanie Seneff, obviously you know her, that we've had on this show, because of the ubiquitous nature of it, how can the science even make the connection?
Oh, it's the science is there, and it's been there for a very long time. And what industry is doing is it's been very disingenuous. It's been providing, for example, they'll have a study that goes, that was intended to go for 6 months, but, you know, all the animals die at the end, or most of them die at the end. So what do? They cut it off at 3 months, and they present that as their study. Oh, we have a 3-month study that shows that glyphosate harms none of our animals, or maybe only one. Mm-hmm. But that one was disqualified anyway because it was too old, or it was female, or it was male, or whatever they want to give it a arbitrary criteria disqualification for. And then they trot those results out and say, look, glyphosate is safe. And all these other people are just, you know, tinfoil nutcases and should be disregarded. That's how they present their science. They do a lot of things like that. There are many tricks they have in their bag of tricks to do. But it is super, super harmful. And we really need to be careful about what we consume. They have glyphosate. What's been used in Roundup, don't use it in your yard. Don't use it around your house. Don't use it on anything. It's nasty stuff.
Yeah. Are there some countries that are more on top of this glyphosate issues than others that you're getting help from?
No.
Or is Monsanto
really
just really powerful?
They've really made, maybe Russia's a little bit more on top of it because of their ban on GMO food. But anyway, to answer your question, I didn't really answer it, Patrick, but where do you go to get the studies on this? You can go to the NHF website, by the way.
Okay, good.
Just use the search engine and plug in glyphosate or Roundup, and it'll turn up all the articles that talk exactly in the even more detail than I have about this issue. The other place you can go to is greenmedinfo.com.
Yes.
And do the exact same thing in their search engine, and you'll come up with that stuff as well. Anyway, those are two resources that any of your listeners and you have access to, immediate access to, and you can use to become an authority yourself on it. Just go deep and read those articles and the science behind it. It's very clear that this is a very deadly threat to really all of us, and not only us, but to the animals. I mean, think, if nothing else, about the animals, because they're getting dosed with this too. You send your dog or cat out into your yard, and it eats the grass in your on your lawn, and it's getting dosed with glyphosate if you're using Roundup to get rid of the weeds in your yard. You don't want that. You want them to develop cancer a few years down the line?
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't.
Yeah. And so we'll put all of these links on the show page. And don't forget, if you can send the NHF some few bucks and help with this, because as you've heard here this last hour, they're one of the few groups out there that are really looking out for you and I and our kids and our dogs and cats. And God love you. Man, I tell you what, it's a brave new world. Well, I'm glad that you see the glyphosate freight train slowing down and maybe someday coming to a halt. It just may take a while, I suspect, huh?
Yeah, although I wouldn't say it's slowing down right
now.
Not
right now,
I think
it's not slowing.
It's headed to a peak, and hopefully that peak will be sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
But then it will plummet. Once we get the message out, once we put the pressure on, just remember, you know, we have an old expression at NHF, politicians don't see the light, they feel the heat.
Hmm.
So we have to be the heat to make them see the light eventually, because they won't see it unless we apply the heat. But once we do, and this will drop like a rock. You know, their excuse for having it out there is we need to feed the world. We need to feed the world. Well, the way you feed the world is you reduce all the food waste that's out there. And you don't feed the world by feeding them toxic crops. You feed the world by feeding them healthy food, healthful food.
Sure.
And that's the way to do it. And that's what they don't understand. But they have this mantra that they keep repeating to themselves time after time in codex meeting after codex meeting that says, we have to feed the world. That's why we're doing this. So
do you have any awareness, before we go, do you have any awareness of the latest USDA pronouncement that they're going to do on GMO labeling? I know that Whole Foods Market postponed their labeling, that they were going to do all things labeled GMO or not, and this year, and they're postponing it right now. They want to wait for the USDA thing to come out before they do theirs, so they don't really confuse things. Do you have any the latest on that?
I'm sorry, I haven't really kept up with it of late, but the last I heard is the proactive people, companies who are responsive to consumer demand are simply labeling their products GMO free.
Mm.
and they are doing that. For a long time, the FDA would take action for many years against companies that put that on their labels, saying it was a deceptive practice. But sometime starting in the last administration and continuing to this one, presidential administration, that practice with the FDA, to my knowledge, has stopped. Maybe here or there, they're still doing it. But mainly what you look for is you look for a GMO-free label rather than leaving it to the government to...
Oh, I see. You know, it's probably going to be a private thing. The latest we heard about, I don't know, I guess it's USDA or FDA, that they're proposing to have a little, what do they call those little things where you scan them? What do they call those?
Right. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I remember now what you're talking about.
They're going to have a scan code, and you take your smartphone while you're in the store, and you scan it, and it'll tell you if it was GMO or not. I mean, oh, come on, really?
No, how many people are going? I can see my
I don't even have a smartphone, right? So what am I going to do, right?
And I can, the percentage use of that. Well, of course, it could increase, but still, it's so low. It's a joke. It's just a scam thing to try to get away from the other. And then how do you know whether it's really GMO-free or not from their little list. Their definition is going to be skewed if past prologue and shows you how they acted in the past. So, now that's a joke.
Well, you sure see a lot more of the non-GMO labels on there, and I go by that, and I just trust it at this point. Yeah. I mean, what else can you do? At some point, you've just got to do the best you can, trust it, and give it to God, you know? Otherwise, you go bonkers, right? You wouldn't eat anything.
Well, it's true, but what you do is you have to read the ingredient list very carefully, because one of the most ubiquitous ingredients on ingredient lists is high fructose corn syrup,
of course,
and they give it various names. And, of course, that'll blow out your liver faster than a freight train. And it's in almost everything, that and aspartame and the like. And you just, these days, as our executive director once said, you know, food has to be presumed guilty and not innocent. I think she said it a little bit better than I just did, but in any event, it's presumed guilty and not innocent. So you have to look at everything, even if it claims to be organic, because they'll even throw in some, you know, ingredients that are not healthy for you in organic food. So you have to be really careful and knowledgeable about it if you want to protect yourself and your family from your food choices. And also the other thing you can go by, Patrick, is, of course, some companies, you know, not all companies are bad. And the problem with our system is that the bad companies float to the surface. And the way we have our system, in a true free market, we'd have good companies float to the top. And so there are good companies out there. There are good brands that you can trust.
Yeah, support those.
So, and so we do try to support them. And then you can kind of relax your vigilance a bit until they've been bought by a megacorp or something. You can relax your vigilance a bit and you can say, okay, it's from this company. You know, like I buy vitamins from Now Brand because I like Now Brand. It's a family-owned company. This is not an ad for them, I'm just saying. So I kind of relax into that, and I know I could buy, confidently from them with vitamins. There are plenty of other good vitamins too.
All right, Mr. Tips, always a pleasure to have you on. We appreciate our relationship, and let us know as we can help along the way. National Health Federation President, General Counsel, Scott Tips. We'll put all the links to the websites if you want to make a donation, and also read up and get some more research so you become well-informed. So the next time you go out for a beer and you start talking to your friends and family about GMO stuff, you won't just repeat what you hear on the news and blah, blah, blah. You'll have something to talk about. All right, Mr.
And
Tips.
Patrick, Patrick, may I just compliment you because you're doing a really good thing with your products, with your radio program, and getting the word out there. We couldn't do it without people like you. Wow. So thank you.
Well, that's our pleasure. All right, Scott, take care of yourself. See you soon.
Thank you.
Scott Tips, good one, huh? Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. You do what you can, right? You just do what you can. Okay, so Mr. Tips, talked about the idea of the glyphosates in the bacteria, and we know the bacteria in the gut is a big deal, and so that's another little picture, a little shameless plug for Living Streams probiotics. We think these are one of the best ones we've come across now, 30 years or so, really. We really do, because these, if you get to know Wayne Blakely, listen to some of his shows on One Radio Network, you'll hear why these things can survive the gut and get down into the small and large intestines and repopulate. So if you get exposed to something and start croaking some of the good guys, you keep replenishing them and just take them every day, put them in your water, take them with your food. Living Streams probiotics, all different kinds. And here's something, Richard Ulrey on it. And then we're going to talk to Dr. Shu about some very nice things to make you look prettier than you are. And you look pretty cute today. Previously with Dr. Richard Ulrey and the relationship to the bacteria in our gut, to everything.
There's tremendous communication between the gut bacteria and the brain through the vagus nerves.
Oh.
The brain doesn't necessarily make a lot of stuff. It needs it's kind of like living on Hawaii. Everything has to be imported. 80% of what your brain needs is actually made by the gut bacteria for your brain to properly function and to regulate the rest of the body. Your gut bacteria is designed to make all of your vitamins. So if you're giving your patients vitamins, that means your gut bacteria is not making the vitamins for the body in question. I said, assuming you straighten out the gut and we've got all the right bacteria doing all the right things, making vitamins, the reason you need vitamins is so you can absorb minerals.
Ah, that's great. We're learning so much. We've always known the bacteria being important, but more and more. Wow. These Living Streams probiotics we're promoting, we believe they are some of the most bioactive, varied, unique human DNA probiotics in glass liquid available anywhere. All the products in our store, click on One Living Streams and you'll get access to them all on OneRadioNetwork.com. Recently on Open Phones, Bridget from Florida called, said that she ordered some of Wayne Blakely's Living Streams products. Through the links on One Radio Network, we joined the conversation.
And all of that, I got three of his products, and I've only been doing it, I don't know if I've been doing it 3 weeks yet. OMG, it's awesome, awesome. It's bringing me back. It's doing something, good stuff.
Oh, good for you. Thanks for trying our recommendations. Yeah, there's some real subtle things going on with all these products that I'm blown away by. Yeah, really.
Yeah, and also my elimination, which wasn't bad, but now it's just whoosh, you know, it's great.
Whoosh? Can I quote you on that? Is it whooshing?
Normally like, yeah. You know, no.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I don't know if we can guarantee whooshing for you, but certainly when you get these probies down in there in the small intestine, which you can with Bifido-2, and the large intestines with the Living Streams Multi-Blend and all the other ones, things will move. Whooshing, well, we'll see. Click and order Living Streams, any link in the store on OneRadioNetwork.com.